I'm going to read this evening from Genesis 22, 1 through 19. We're actually going to be looking at a host of passages and dealing with one of the subjects regarding angels that can be most confusing perhaps to us, this whole concept of the angel of the Lord. And we'll get into that after we read from God's Word, Genesis 22, 1 through 19. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. And they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwells at Beersheba. Well, in looking at the subject of angels, we come to the topic particularly of the angel of the Lord for a couple of different reasons. First of all, if you want to talk about the various occurrences and times that angels show up in the Scripture, you're going to run into a number of passages that refer to the angel of the Lord. But also the angel of the Lord is a particularly puzzling figure to us at times. And the reason that is we're going to see, and even in this passage that we've just read, if you, for instance, in verses 15 and 16, you have the Lord speaking, the angel of the Lord speaking, also the Lord speaking through the mouth of the angel of the Lord. Things get a little more complicated when we consider that God makes clear throughout the Scripture that no man can see my face and live. And so the explanation that this angel of the Lord is in fact the Father, that it's in fact Jehovah, becomes a little troubling and becomes a little difficult to fit in with the evidence. But then furthermore, as soon as we start to say, well, is this a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ by chance? We run up against something that we have learned from our youth, for those of us who have been raised in the church, and that is that Jesus is not an angel. And that In fact, the groups like the Jehovah Witnesses teach that Jesus is the highest of the angels, that he's the angel Michael, for instance, and that he's just another created being. And so we have to deal with this angel of the Lord. Who is this? What's he up to? What should we make of this character? Because, of course, Jesus is not an angel. He's not created. He's not finite. And yet we're going to see that many of the occurrences of the angel of the Lord in the Scripture are, in fact, pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus Christ. And I say many of the instances because what we want to start out with this evening is some of the places where we need to be careful. And it's actually incorrect to say that every time in the Scripture that the angel of the Lord shows up is Jesus. And let me give you a couple examples of that. If you put your, you can either leave a finger in Genesis or just turn. We'll be in a lot of places, like I said. And look at the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. Matthew 2:13. This is after the birth of Jesus. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And then Matthew 28, verse 2, on the resurrection morning. Who do Mary Magdalene and the other Mary encounter? And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Now, we might dismiss those and say, well, that's in the Greek. It's not the, you know, it's not the word Jehovah, the word Yahweh. But it would be the way that the Greek would translate that term. And these are three instances, and actually we could multiply examples by looking at Luke and in the book of Acts, some of the deliveries from prisons are done by the angel of the Lord. And so these are times that are not directly referencing Jesus. Furthermore, in the Old Testament, there are a variety of passages, particularly in 1 and 2 Kings, 1 Kings 19:7, for instance, and 2 Kings chapter 1, when the angel of the Lord appears and ministers in some different ways to Elijah. For instance, after he has left Mount Carmel and is running for his life, and remember, he sleeps for a while, and the angel of the Lord wakes him up and sets food before him. Later on, the angel of the Lord comes and gives him messages to speak. Now, both of these examples, or these types of examples from the life of Elijah in the book of Kings, I would argue are inconclusive. I don't think that there's, unlike some of the other examples we're going to look at, where when the angel of the Lord appears, people fall down and worship, we don't see that same response from Elijah. And we don't see the angel of the Lord in those circumstances doing things that are unique in terms of the overall angelic ministry. And so it's possible even that some of the Old Testament references to the angel of the Lord are not specifically referring to the incarnate Christ as well. Regardless, bottom line, here's the point of why I mention this. I don't want you leaving tonight, and in your Bible reading, whenever you encounter the four words, angel of the Lord, saying it always means that this is actually talking about Jesus Christ. Because we have clear examples in the New Testament when it is not. So we have to let the context of the Scripture speak to us and instruct us and be careful to pay attention. Furthermore, we always need to show care, and this is not a sermon primarily dealing with the deity of Jesus Christ, but as soon as we start talking about Jesus as an angel, which I do believe is the case in the Old Testament, we have to nuance that very carefully, or people are going to get confused. And so just be aware of those two dangers as you deal with this subject of the angel of the Lord. Not every instance Is it referring to Jesus? And be careful in how you use this language, because it can be very confusing to people around you. However, all that being said, what we do see is the angel of the Lord showing up in the Old Testament scriptures with the power of God. And to that end, you can look at Genesis 16:10. This is after the birth of Ishmael, and Hagar takes off and heads off on her own. She's upset because Pharaoh's causing problems for her and is being difficult for her. If you look at verse 16:10, remember, an angel of the Lord comes to Haggai. He says, "Return to your mistress and submit under her hand." Verse 9. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for number." Actually, this is when she's pregnant, I should have said. She hasn't yet had Ishmael, but she's expecting Ishmael. "I will multiply." Well, the scripture makes clear that the Lord is the one who opens and closes the womb. And passages about Hannah and Rachel demonstrate that very clearly. So here the angel of the Lord is promising that "I will do something for you that God is the one who controls." 1 Chronicles 21, verse 15, we see the angel of the Lord bringing catastrophic destruction and judgment. This is after the census that King David takes. And we see actually some interaction there between God, the Lord, and the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord standing in the place of the Lord. And so the angel of the Lord has the power of God and demonstrates and claims the power of God for himself in a way that we don't see just the regular angelic host, although being very powerful, they don't have the same omnipotence that the angel of the Lord has. And this foreshadows, of course, when we think about who Jesus is, the power and destruction that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords can bring. And the fact that Jesus Christ will come in power and glory for, yes, blessing, as we're going to see momentarily, but also for destruction as well. So the angel of the Lord has God's power. The angel of the Lord also demonstrates that he's a divine angel by requiring obedience. One of the interesting interactions with the angel of the Lord comes in Numbers chapter 22. And this is a passage where actually a donkey overshadows the angel of the Lord in some ways, because Balaam is, of course, hired by the king, Balak, to come and curse Israel. And he says, "Well, I can't go with you unless the Lord allows me." And then after he slept on it, he decided to go anyway. Maybe it is worth my while to go along. And so as he's traveling along on his donkey, of course, he and his donkey have some difficult interactions, because the Lord had opened the eyes of the donkey to see the angel of the Lord, but had not opened the eyes of Balaam to see the angel of the Lord. And we see in places like Numbers 22, verse 32, after some of these interactions, then the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me." Now, notice, the angel of the Lord is claiming that Balaam's sin is against him. "You have a problem with me." D.A. Carson talked some about that this morning in our Sunday school class, about who has the power to forgive sins but God alone. Why? Because God alone is the one who is the chief offended party in any sin that anyone commits. Nowhere else in Scripture do we see angels making sin, the sin of individuals, a personal matter between them and the sinner, other than when it's the angel of the Lord. "This sin is against me." And we have nowhere in Scripture that would lead us to think that that when we do something wrong, that we need to, you know, ask forgiveness of the Lord, but also of Gabriel, for instance, or, you know, the seraphim. That's just not the tone of the scripture. Our sin is against the Lord. And the angel speaks to that in this case. Verse 34 carries forward that same theme. Numbers 22:34. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. So there's an understanding of I'm accountable to you. And then verse 35 as well. The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak. So there's a requirement for Balaam to obey the angel of the Lord. In Genesis 22 that we started out with, verse 12, what does the angel of the Lord say to Abraham? Because you have not withheld your son from me. So there's this close identification and requirement that people are required to obey the angel of the Lord. And we don't see that, once again, with any other angel. And so what we have here is not only is Jesus powerful, or not only is the angel of the Lord powerful in an omnipotent way, but also we see the angel of the Lord requiring obedience and making our disobedience a matter of personal offense, not just a matter of offense before God. So the angel of the Lord must be obeyed. The angel of the Lord also identifies himself with new names of God and introduces new names of God in the midst of his ministry. And that text that we looked at briefly with Hagar, Genesis 16:13. Hagar proclaims, you are the God who sees, in response to the angel of the Lord. Abraham on Mount Moriah, Genesis 22:14, introduces us to that great name of the Lord, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. But perhaps even more noteworthy is the presence of the angel of the Lord in Exodus 3. Exodus 3, which is best known to us as the burning bush chapter. And who shows up in the burning bush? Who appears to Moses in that burning bush? The angel of the Lord shows up. And Exodus 3:2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Jumping down to verse 6, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. This is one of the things that we have to be careful with when we study these passages with the angel of the Lord, because you're reading along, and the angel of the Lord is talking, and all of a sudden in the next verse, the Lord is the one that's speaking. And we see the interchangeableness of the two in the minds of the writers of Scripture and in the Lord's mind himself. Actually, it becomes for us a powerful proof against the Jehovah Witnesses, who would say, well, you know, Jesus is an angel. Well, here we have examples of the Lord, Jehovah, who, you know, they're hung up on that name, Jehovah, is the angel of the Lord. And so there's an equivalence there, and actually that what we learn is that Jesus, that not only is the Father Jehovah, but that Jesus is Jehovah, that the triune God is Jehovah God. And so that's illustrated for us here. But then going on in chapter 3, of course, of Exodus verse 14, God said to Moses, this angel of the Lord still speaking to Moses said, I am who I am. And so thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And so we have these names that the angel of the Lord introduces. Later on, In the history of the Old Testament, in the time of the judges, the angel of the Lord also makes numerous appearances. And one of those is to Gideon. Gideon in Judges 6:20. 22. And the angel of the Lord there introduces himself. Remember, he comes to Gideon and says, hi, you mighty man of valor. And then in verse 22, Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. He's afraid for his life. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. And then in Judges 13:18, with Manoah and his wife at the announcement of the birth of Samson, angel of the Lord introduces the name of Wonderful. My name is Wonderful to Manoah and his wife. And so the angel of the Lord, actually several of the key names and key identifications of the Lord through the Old Testament come through the angel of the Lord and are identified in conjunction with him. But we're not done yet with why we believe that the angel of the Lord in these various texts is a pre-incarnate Christ. We also see the angel of the Lord receiving worship. And we see that in Judges 13, if you want to turn there, once again, the text with Manoah and his wife, the angel of the Lord, after saying, why do you ask my name, seeing it as wonderful? So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went up toward heaven from the altar. The angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And so the angel of the Lord is receiving worship from people. Gideon also offers sacrifice. And, of course, Moses at the burning bush worships the Lord as well. And people, after these encounters with the angel of the Lord, they say, we have seen God. We're frightened. You know, what happens to us? We have seen God. And so we see the angel of the Lord receiving worship. One last thing that we see as a foreshadowing of Jesus and the ministry and work of the angel of the Lord. This comes much later in the Old Testament, in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 1, one of the books written after the exile. Zechariah 1, verse 10. And the man who stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are the ones whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. So there's a picture of the angels and the angelic ministry. So they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quietly. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah against which you were angry these 70 years? And so we see, and there's another text later on in the book of Zechariah as well, in which we see the angel of the Lord standing before the Lord as an intercessor on behalf of the people of God. Once again, an attribute or a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ that's picked up in detail in the book of Hebrews, that we don't see as part of the angelic ministry. Angels are not our mediator or intercessors on our behalf, but Jesus is. And so these are all reasons why we can't believe that the angel of the Lord is a mere angel, but must believe that in all these cases that these are pre-incarnate appearances of Jesus Christ. Now, what do we make, though, of all this? There's actually a lot we could do and a lot we can learn from these various texts. But here's the particular thread that we see from the ministry of the angel of the Lord through the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord appears and ministers particularly when the covenant seems to be in doubt. In Genesis 22, the angel of the Lord calls to Abraham a second time. This is after the sacrifice, after the attempted sacrifice of Isaac has been stopped There's been the sacrifice of the ram in the thicket. And the angel calls to Abraham a second time and says, "By myself I've sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And your seed, all the nations of the earth, shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." God comes to Abraham there, and that the angel of the Lord comes and reiterates the truthfulness of the covenant promises. But even more so in a place like Exodus 3, where the children of Israel have been in slavery for 400 years. When are we leaving? And things are not better in Egypt. Things are at an all-time low in Egypt. When are we going to leave? And the Lord, the angel of the Lord, comes to Abraham and says, "I haven't forgotten about my children. I will bring you out. I'm going to keep my covenant promises." Later on in the book of the Bible, I think maybe we struggle most with wondering what's God doing in terms of his covenant faithfulness. The book of Judges. What a sad book. What a discouraging book. And here's the angel of the Lord showing up on several occasions at critical junctures, and there are others that I didn't go into, that the angel of the Lord showing up and reminding and calling certain people to defend the people of God. And my covenant promises will remain in spite of your rebellion and hard-heartedness. I haven't given up on you, and I will lead you to victory. And then in the book of Zechariah, particularly later on in the book of Zechariah, when in that great passage with the high priest standing and Satan coming and accusing, and the angel of the Lord standing by to defend and to ensure that the covenant promises of God will be fulfilled. And why is that so fitting then? Well, it's fitting in every way that would foreshadow that all of these various aspects of the ministry of the angel of the Lord would foreshadow the ministry of Jesus Christ, who is the surety of the covenant, who shows up to cause the covenant promises to be yes and amen. The angel of the Lord shows up to give reminders and to give promises and reinforce the covenant promises and to lead people one step forward in faith in anticipation, of course, as Jesus, of coming later and carrying out and fulfilling all those covenant promises. And so the angel of the Lord foreshadows and encourages the saints of the Old Testament that Jesus will appear to fulfill the covenant promises. But the angel of the Lord and the ministry of the angel of the Lord is not over in that regard. Not that we have appearances of the angel of the Lord today. But these reminders throughout the Old Testament of the assurance of the covenant promises remind us to believe that God is not done fulfilling his covenant promises now either. That Jesus will return to fulfill all the promises of the covenant. And that we will be made like him, as we talked about this morning, because we will see him and we will see the covenant God as he is. He is coming again, brothers and sisters. And so we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these reminders from your word of the ministry of the angel of the Lord. And Lord, it's good for us to see these foreshadowing, pre-incarnate appearances, foreshadowing the earthly ministry and also the heavenly ministry of our Savior on our behalf. Lord, we pray that we would worship and bow low, and that we would rejoice in all that Christ has done for us. In his name we pray. Amen.